Well, I wonder what you would say if you were asked this question. Do you pray? Well, a group of reporters went onto the streets of London to ask people that question. And this is what they found out.
Do I pray?
Yeah.
No, I never pray. Sometimes with my granny because she believes.
I do pray?
Yeah, I pray every night before I go to sleep.
I talk to myself a lot.
I pray before I do pray every now and then.
When I was a child, I prayed, yes.
When I'm praying, I just feel totally at ease and calm to go into the ground.
Because my school, like, we had assembly and it made us, like, sit there and pray.
No, I've never prayed to a higher being or something more powerful than me.
I prayed, I guess, because I was younger, just to, for God to keep watch over my family.
Maybe before exams, you know, and stuff like that.
I prayed for things to get better. I prayed for success in my life. That sounds a bit greedy.
I pray for people that I love. I pray for things that I want to happen.
I pray that to find my remote control. That always works.
If something really bad happens, you'll see me on my knees.
Well, that guy was honest at the end there, wasn't he? At least he realised that sometimes in life we can't sort everything out ourselves. Of course, this morning we've been praying in our time together in different ways. We've been talking to God, and including talking to God about little Olive and Isla, and asking that, saying thank you to God for them, and also asking that they would grow up to be happy and responsible and understand what's most important in life. We've also prayed to God, asking him for forgiveness and also asking God to be at work in his world in all kinds of different situations and circumstances. Well, this morning in our Bible reading, we find a group of people who were praying. And as they pray, we can, as it were, listen in and hear and learn some really important things about what it is to pray. Now, what we read comes after a remarkable happening that the previous bit of the book of Acts has been talking about. It was after Jesus had been raised from the dead, and he'd said to his friends that he was going to send them out in order to point people to him, to be his witnesses. First of all in Jerusalem where they lived, and then in the wider region, and then even to the end of the earth. Now Jesus had appeared to them after he'd been raised from the dead, and then he returned to heaven. He ascended to rule the world at God the Father's right hand. And then on the day of Pentecost, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And he is God's very presence who was come to do for Jesus' people just what Jesus himself would do if he was here in his body on the earth. And the Holy Spirit came to strengthen Jesus' people so that they could do what he told them to do, which was to be witnesses for him. Now, after the Holy Spirit came, Jesus' special messengers, the apostles, Peter and John, were on their way to pray at the temple. And as they went, they met a man who was disabled. Now, this guy was always sat there by the side of the road, asking people for money. And when he saw Peter, the man said, "Give me some money." And Peter said to him, "I don't have any silver or gold, but that which I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And straight away, the man had his legs fully healed, and he walked and jumped up and down, praising God. And all the people who were there were absolutely amazed. Well, Peter and John had to explain that this had happened through Jesus. Jesus, the one who had been put to death just a short time before, but whom God had raised to show people just how important he was. And this miracle was a sign. It was to point people to Jesus to see his significance. And that if people turned back to God and believed in Jesus, well, then they could have their sins, that which they'd done against God, blotted out. And they could become part of what God is doing in his world. A plan that will be completed when Jesus returns and restores all things, mending this broken world. Now, when the people heard about Jesus, many believed in him. And the number of people who believed in Jesus in these very early days after Jesus' resurrection grew to about 5,000. But others, well, they were not very happy at all. The religious leaders were actually extremely annoyed. They were very annoyed that the apostles went around talking about Jesus and the fact that through Jesus there was a resurrection for everybody one day if they believed in him. And so they arrested him then and they put them in prison and told them to stop speaking about Jesus. But Peter and John were strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And they said that Jesus was so important, they had to speak of him. There's salvation in no one else, they said. There's no one other name under heaven given amongst people by which people must be saved. Well, eventually, Peter and John were let out of prison. And that's the point at which our Bible reading picks up what happened. They went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Now, what do you think might have happened? Here's Peter and John. They've been banged up in prison. They've had a pretty terrible time. They come and see their friends. What might their friends have done? Well, we don't read that they had a celebratory drink or that they got lots of slaps on the back and congratulations for getting out. No, actually, what they did was they prayed. And we read about it in Acts chapter 4. They prayed. When they heard about what happened, the opposition Peter and John had experienced and the threats that they'd been under for speaking about Jesus, they lifted their voices together to God and they said, "Sovereign Lord." Now in those few words, we're actually reminded about something very simple, but actually something very important and profound about what prayer is. It's about lifting up our voices to God. It is about talking to the God who's made us and loves us. And when these early Christians prayed, they knew that they faced a great challenge. And so they asked God for help. But first of all, they began by remembering something. They remembered that God is in control. Sovereign Lord, they prayed, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They remembered that God is the true King. That he is the one who is over everything. You see, we can be confident that even though human leaders may have power, God has more. And human leaders only have power because God allows them to have it. So they prayed, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them." So as they prayed, they reminded themselves and they spoke back to God truth about him. God is the God who has made us, has made all things, and who keeps things going moment by moment. And God is also the God who makes himself known. Sovereign Lord, who through the mouth of our father David said by the Holy Spirit. You see, God is the speaking God who tells us what is most important about ourselves, about our world, and indeed about himself. And it's interesting that in this prayer, we see that the apostles understand the main way that God speaks to us. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, and who through the mouth of our father David, said by the Holy Spirit, and then they quote from the Bible, from the Old Testament, from Psalm 2, words showing us that actually what we have in the Bible are God's words inspired by the Holy Spirit because he inspired the human writers. And what we see here is a great pattern for our prayers too, because what they did was they included bits of the Bible as they prayed, and that's a great thing for us to do too, because it helps us to get our thoughts clear about God and also builds our confidence in him. Well, the part of the Bible that these early Christians used when they prayed was Psalm 2. And they quoted these words knowing that they were 1,000 years old even then. And they were actually part of a promise that God had made that he was going to send his Messiah King, the Anointed One. but that he was going to be opposed. People were going to hate him, in fact. The leaders of the world would not accept him. So they quote Psalm 2, "Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and his anointed, his Messiah." But they remembered that God is the sovereign king. He is in control. And so they pray with confidence to the one who was spoken through his word in the Bible. "Sovereign Lord, who through your word has said the leaders of the earth would oppose your Messiah, in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. There was Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel. But it could only be to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place." You see, Jesus, of course, we all know, was put to death. But it was not an accident. He died so that guilty people like you and me can be forgiven. So that those who are far from God can be brought back to him. And God has raised Jesus from the dead in order to prove it. So in this prayer, we see a great thing to remember when we pray. Pray to God, remembering that he is in control. But also they do something else. And that is that they ask God for something. They ask to be able to be witnesses for Jesus with confidence. So the apostles prayed, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." You see, in a nutshell, they prayed that despite the opposition that they were facing, they would have confidence to keep on being witnesses to Jesus as he had called them to be. And they asked too that for them as apostles in this early phase of the church's witness, that God would work miracles as signs to point people to the importance of Jesus. And we read, when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So you see, God answered their prayers, and they were filled by God's Spirit, and they were given great confidence and boldness to keep on sharing God's message with other people, even though there were lots of people who were against them. Now, last week, we thought about the fact that we don't face the opposition that Christians do in other parts of the world, places like North Korea and Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia, where it's not possible to speak publicly about Jesus. And in fact, in some of those places, you may well find yourself put in prison or even killed if you do. But we do need God's help so that we don't lose our nerve. We need to pray and ask for strength from God's Spirit that we can be those who point other people to Jesus, doing that as individuals and together as a church community. So we began asking, do you pray? And we've seen here from Acts 4 a great encouragement to pray, especially when facing challenges. When we pray, remember that God is in control, and ask to be able to be witnesses for Jesus with confidence. Well, let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the sovereign God who is in control of your world and is working out your plans centered on Jesus. We pray that you would build our confidence in you, the true and living God, and that also by your Spirit, you would help us to be witnesses to you if we believe in you. And if we don't or we're not sure, Father, we pray that by your Spirit you would work to persuade us of the truth as it really is, centered on Jesus. And we ask for his sake. Amen.